I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestling on.
Wrestling pizza.
Yes, remember did him that time.
Yeah, he did well. He did better than the last episode.
Well done, me.
Yeah, amazing, because it started so badly the last episode, but it turned into what I would call one of the towering pinnacles of podcast excellence.
Towering infernos. Starcast. Yeah. Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, and Big Show. That's what it was.
Hi, Big Show. I mean, I know it's you're going to go up to an Oscar. So, do you want to cut your hair? Nope. I'm in that downswing year.
I'm going to let those baby blues do the talking. So, how long did it take before Big Show got his shit together?
Well, I mean, that's debatable.
Big Boss Man steal his dad?
That was unfortunately 1999. We're a long way past that. Yeah.
Oh, how did we miss that?
I know. Well, it wasn't. Big Show stealing at WrestleMania, annoyingly.
Why isn't that at WrestleMania? Months after Big Show losing his big or normal sized dad, we don't know. Big Boss Man came and stole his dad.
I don't think his dad is big.
No,
I think he's got brothers and sisters as well. I think they're disappointingly average.
Are you
surgeon
thinking of,
and you know, great legal counsel?
Are you thinking of like a big kind of like if they all climb on each other's shoulders, it would be magnificent. Blot out the sun.
I just imagine those like photos, the family photos that all American families have.
Yeah.
Where they're all in a line, yeah. And they normally do it on age, so it goes in a nice, neat sort of sliding graph. But to have just Big Show in the middle of it, ruining it every year.
Big Show, can you stand in the next field?
I'm going to say this isn't going to be popular, but I don't think you should be allowed to have a giant child unless you're a giant yourself, because
they should be taken away to a giant orphanage,
which literally would be a giant orphanage. It'd have to be really.
It would
big.
Have to just be a jail, wouldn't it? It would have to be a jail for humans.
Feeding them on bin lids, you know, give them clubs and rudimentary animal one pieces, right? And occasionally, once every 3 years, just release one in the city. I'll be thrilling. If the Big Show is listening and is interested in this, please get on my Patreon.
The Big Show Baby Bash. Yeah. Go on. Release the Big Show Baby Bash.
I'm afraid there is actually no money in it for him. But
no big money.
But it's great exposure. When he actually does become quite good in the later WrestleMania, because they put him in a match. A big money match against Floyd Mayweather Jr., the boxer.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
He comes back after a period out, and this is the thing that actually lights a bit of a fire under him.
Nice.
And he comes back in great shape, and it's a fun match, that. It really is. I mean, it's barely a match, but it's huge, great fun.
Have you got any hopes for the Tyson Fury nonsense that's going on?
Tyson Fury has actually spoken over the years about how much of a huge WWE fan he is.
He'll learn some moves.
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, because he is a boxer, how much are they going to say, here's how to do it? How many days is he going to be able to give over to that?
Yeah.
There was a part where he made an appearance.
He doesn't do a lot of training, does he?
He very much
relies on his skills.
I would be worried. You see, I'm always worried about the idea that I would be a competent wrestler and I would be going into the ring with someone, whether they're being paid $15 million or not, and know that actually if they get a bit fed up with it, they can just punch my head off. I mean, that is essentially like a wrestling bear, where you go, I don't really want to do it, but
yeah, if
it's
I catch
good.
Him wrong.
Yeah.
If he's not in the mood. Yeah, if he doesn't see my move properly.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I catch him above the eye.
If I go in too quick as he turns his head. and I touch him on the eye really gently. I mean, I'm going to lose my insides. And that's what I feel. Do I think it'll be good? No, I don't think it'll be good, but it is a spectacle. And yeah. I'm one of the few wrestling fans.
Who love a spectacle.
I don't mind that at all. I don't think it's particularly good for the business, but I don't think it's bad. And I think it's all part of the rich and weird carnival that wrestling is so great at.
Get him in the play-by bed. Get him in the play-by bed. Have a pillow fight.
I don't know how Tyson Fury speaks, so I'm going to just give him a... I don't know.
Don't he just talk about like this?
Don't he? Like that?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, probably talk a bit like this.
I'm happy to come to Saudi Arabia. I'm going to do it for the 15 million, right? But a couple of things, right? One, I don't want to have to wear a small leotard. I'll be wearing, like, something that covers me all.
We clothes.
And secondly, I want to fight Lita. Matt, Lita in this WrestleMania. Please. Put it away.
Come on now.
Let's go on to the second match.
I think so.
Money in the Bank. This is the big ladder match with Matt Hardy versus the Intercontinental Champion Shelton Benjamin versus Fit Finlay versus Rob Van Dam versus Bobby Lashley when he seemed like the future of the business versus Ric Flair.
Shelton Benjamin was brilliant again.
Yep.
I like him. But how old was Finlay?
Well, he
looked quite old.
Finlay's amazing. I mean, this is a funny one. Ric Flair, they didn't really have a role for him on the card, so they stuck him in this match.
Okay.
And it is not a match that he is going to excel in. Although, actually, he kind of excels in it. It's great. He's Ric Flair. You can't stop him. Someone has a sign as they come in, and it just says...
what is this?
Make sure... What is this?
What is this?
They have a sign that just says, can we get Flair an escalator? And you see Flair glance at it as he goes in, and you really see him go... Oh, well, that's the last shred of my of my hope that this was going to be an enjoyable night gone. Fit Finlay, this is the first time we've seen him at WrestleMania, and he is one of the industry's greats. Mm. Probably, even at this point, people aren't really aware of how great history will look at him. So he is a Northern Irish wrestler. Mm. He trained and made his name in Britain.
Belfast, Ireland. Just say it. Just say it. Don't worry about the repercussions. Belfast, Ireland. Can't see that being a problem.
he was known as the Belfast Bruiser. Mm. And he was the main event of the first ever live wrestling I saw. I went in to see in about 1991. I went to see it took place in Brighton. My friend's dad, his job was if a company went bankrupt, he'd go round, seize everything, put it in a lockup, and then they'd value it.
Right.
And he'd give it to the creditors. Or not. And as part of it, he took us kids down for a weekend in Brighton. There was wrestling on, and we went to one of the big hotels. And this was happening in, like, the banqueting suite, where you'd have Brighton Man of the Year. There's just, like, a ring set up on this plush carpet. And there were probably, I don't know, I mean, it was not a popular time for British wrestling. Mm. There were probably about 50 people there. And it was, the main event was Fit Finlay versus a guy called Marty Jones,
right.
Who is a very, very sort of well-regarded technical British wrestler, still alive, not performing anymore, because he would be about 70. but they had a main event that was probably one of the most heated matches I think I've ever seen. In front of 50 people, they wrestled for about half an hour.
Yeah.
It was non-stop. The crowd got so into it. There was a bloke who was smoking. That's how long ago it was. He was smoking on the front row. And he stood up and he put his cigarette out on Fit Finlay's back. And Fit Finlay turned round, furious. And the bloke had a bag next to him. And Finlay just grabbed the bag and punted it across this ballroom. Chandelier sort of swinging sort of thing. And I was looking at this and going, this is
cool.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The opening match as well, I forget. I think it was Cyanide Sid Cooper, old sort of hand who looked a bit like one of the Bushwhackers, versus a teenage schoolboy called Boz Berry. And Boz Berry came in and he had back acne, not because of steroids, but because he was a boy.
He
was about 14. And my friend next to me, he just went, look at his fucking back. Look at his back. He's got spots on his back. And it was a small room. And he just turned. And again, he just looked heartbroken. Ruined the night for him. But Finlay, all this experience that he had, by the time he gets to America, it's in the dying days of WCW.
Right.
And he's used on the lower mid card. He's used in hardcore matches and things like that. He suffers a really, really bad injury in a match against one of the Nasty Boys, Brian Knobbs, where a table shatters. It goes into his leg. He almost loses his leg. So he's out for a while. When WWE buy WCW, they take Fit Finlay to be a trainer. just because he's been all over the world. Mm. Probably also on the recommendation of William Regal, who is a great trainer, who also has that thing of bringing the British people, because they have a skill set that the Americans never learned, which is, you know, a specific type of technical wrestling. Mm. Also a lot to do with the comedy in wrestling, which the British do so well, and the Americans took a long time to get used to.
Yeah.
They bring in Finlay. He ends up training John Cena. I think he ends up training Randy Orton. And then they put him in charge of the women.
Right.
And you can see in this WrestleMania, there's a women's match that is as good as any of the men's matches.
Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest women's matches in WWE history, which is Trish Stratus and Mickie James. These are Fit Finlay projects. Well, what happens is, because Eddie Guerrero is down, they're lacking star power. Mm. And they say to Finlay, who is presumably they view as being retired now, do you want to come back? He comes back, he begins getting massively over. He's having great matches. Before long, he finds himself hovering around the main event. You know, right. He takes place in multi-man matches at the end of pay-per-views and things like that. So he really, really, really does well. And so this is this last late bloom of a career that no one in America has seen.
Right.
He ends up, they sort of go, well, we've got to give him a little extra because he is just this weird-looking Irishman. And they give him Hornswoggle the Leprechaun.
Oh, that's where that guy comes in.
Yeah.
And right. that's
originally, there's hints that it's Finlay's son, but it turns out in a long and convoluted and absolutely terribly booked long thing, he's actually Vince McMahon's son. In the end.
Oh, no.
I know.
What
Jeez.
Is that about?
I mean, think of how much television had to be used to get you to that end. I'm never going to get that back.
What a waste of time.
There's a little bit where Finlay and Flair get together and they have yes. a sort of great, exciting moment. Really, the crowd likes things that are similar going together, and one of them is old men. And they're like, the two old men are together. This is going to be fucking off the hook. And they are great together. It made me sort of go, God, I wonder, did Flair and Finlay ever have a match? Yeah. And no.
No, you know, they never had just by themselves.
No. Oh. Flair was always the big American and Finlay was just a British guy. It would be really unusual that they would have crossed. So, heartbreaking.
Can we talk about the Ric Flair, 57 years old, taking that off the fucking ladder?
I mean, there are some amazing things. That is a perfect
they call
example.
It a superplex.
A superplex. And Flair walks out and he comes back
Good
very
Lord.
Quickly after. Which was sort of a bit of a weird, like his match is over. But it just, I mean, it is an incredible thing that Flair is the consummate pro that even at 57, you go, let me do something that absolutely brings the house down. It's just amazing. When he gets close to grabbing the suitcase,
yes.
that is the first time the crowd lose their minds. It's so exciting.
Surely everyone wants Rick to get the money. Like,
yeah.
Sure, because he's, you know, he's the big yep. star.
If he gets the briefcase, he ends up with a title shot at any point during the year. And everything has been pushed, really, for the returning RVD to get that to... And as he later does, challenge Cena for the title at ECW One Night Stand number 2, which
right.
is 2006, in front of an even better crowd than here. But the very fact that you put Ric Flair in that, nobody in WWE could have imagined that when Flair got near to that belt, to get a title shot, which he's held 18 times, when he gets near that briefcase, the place just go, yes, the future of this business is 57 years old. And if not him, the Belfast guy who's in his 60s, you know. Absolutely brilliant. And Shelton Benjamin is so over in this. Every
yeah.
time I watch Shelton Benjamin now, I do find it sad because that wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
He is so good in this. Mm. Every year he made this match, he did the one thing that stood out in your mind.
Mm.
And I think he does it for 5 years in a row and he never ever gets to take the briefcase.
Mm.
And it just seems like a mad missed opportunity.
Yeah.
They've since had him back. He's currently working with WWE. They just don't use him in any meaningful way. And
right.
it's such a waste of a talent.
Yeah.
I think that he's the one I look at the most and I feel saddest about, that he never had the career that he should have had.
Mm.
And it was all to do with just who was in power at the time. And it's just a shame. He's so sensational.
I do like ladder matches where, certainly these ones where they've got to grab something. It's where people like Lashley in particular has to pretend that he's having some trouble climbing up a ladder, except
yeah.
nobody's really noticed he's halfway up the ladder.
You've done 15 of the rungs. But the 16th, for some reason, I actually just can't get onto it. I can't get near it.
Too much.
The worst bit is when they bat at it like a lazy cat. and you know, if this
I could
is
get
real,
that.
Right?
If that had a lot of money, I wouldn't want the title shot.
Yeah.
But if there was over 10 grand in there, I would be right up that fucking ladder, risking life and limb to get hold of that and then swing off it.
I just, Pat. pat, pat. You know, you're just killing time. But Lashley in this, I think you can see again, he has a much bigger role in the next WrestleMania.
Right.
But he watch him now and you watch him today. The big thing he suffers from is he has a slightly sort of scolded face. He sort of looks a bit, you know, like, oh, I'm a bit intimidated and I'm gentle and nice, and it ruins him as a sort of like killer predator, which is what he should be, really. You see it in this where even this early on, people are just like, don't buy this guy.
Yeah.
Don't buy this guy. Well, they will do that for another 20 years. Don't buy it. A little thing then, we get Mean Gene comes out. He just does a quick interview with Randy Orton. And
looks
Randy
all
Orton,
baggy around the face.
Yeah, doesn't he? Mm. Yeah, Randy says, you mean to say you're inducted into the Hall of Fame for holding a microphone for 30 years? And Gene, credit to him, he looks really angry. He's like, oh, stick this up your ass. Miserable and cross. And then we get Dave Batista coming out, just basically going,
show him who's boss.
Yeah, we were going to have a match, but I'll be back and I'll get my title. And Dave Batista in this, again, nobody ever said to him, you're going to be a massive movie star. So make sure throughout your career, you dress like you're a major movie star. And clearly, it's just a thing that he's like, I am a huge deal. And that's got him. I mean, he's so good in movies. I was watching Blade Runner 2049
the other
day.
He's good in
that, isn't he? He's really good in it.
He got a little side kind of mini film, I think. It's like a 5-minute film about that character.
Yeah.
Which, it's a lovely scene, that. I love that film.
It's good, isn't it?
Again,
and he's great in it.
Yeah.
And you see it here, and you just go, if you were going to say, which of the people you've seen here are going to break Hollywood, you'd go, well, obviously the movie star that was talking to Randy Orton. I realise now, I've just got to start dressing for what I want to be.
What, wrap around Oakleys?
Yep.
Big suit. No, big boxy suit.
I want to be a leading female actor.
Right, sorry, okay.
So
right.
I'm going to start wearing very expensive cocktail dresses.
Diamante.
Yes. I'm going to drip in pearls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But so yeah, this is the bit where they sort of do a bit of a Hall of Fame kind of thing, which I really liked. I thought it was a nice little touch.
Yeah, you get this year was Mean Gene, yes. Sensational Sherry comes out looking absolutely ageless. She looks exactly the same as she always has.
She looks like she's sort of dressed like a nun.
Yes,
she'd be dead within the year.
Was it within the year?
Yeah, within the year, yeah.
Crikey, terrible, isn't it?
Tony Atlas as well.
Yep.
Just a quick note that in this year of 2006, Chicago installed a work of art in Grant Park called the Agora, comprising of 106 headless, armless, but conspicuously not footless figures.
Atlas,
you old dog.
Oh.
Just feet, just a lot of feet.
I moved to Chicago, but the weird thing is, I'm just constantly hungry. they gave him Victoria, and the other ones have been very much given the sort of divas who are very sort of, you know, just svelte and sort of, they look like nymphs.
Yeah.
And they give Atlas Victoria, and it's clearly a thing of going, she can handle herself.
Yes.
Basically, if you see his head dip down, you need to start fighting.
Knee up. Yeah. Head down, knee up.
They've also got William the Refrigerator Perry,
yes,
who took part in the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royale. And at the time was in the 86, huge cultural icon.
Huge deal, yeah.
So, you know, it was a big deal for them. He is not wearing a suit because he has no respect for professional wrestling. They bring out the Blackjacks, Blackjack Mulligan and Blackjack Lanza.
Yeah, I can't remember whether you like the Blackjacks or not.
Well, the Blackjacks are a 70s act. They are before my time.
Oh, right.
So we've seen them
when they were
Barry Windham and JBL.
That's it, yeah. Yes.
So Barry Windham is the son of Blackjack Mulligan. He's also the father-in-law of IRS. And his grandson is Bray Wyatt, who is doing very well for himself now. I'm going to cough because I'm thinking of Bray Wyatt.
Oh, beautiful.
Ah, fiendish. And the other person who's there is Vern Gagne. And Vern Gagne is a promoter of the AWA, big Minneapolis-based federation that was always the number three after WWE and WCW/NWA. And Vern Gagne becomes... he's a guy who was always famous for putting himself over.
Right.
When he retired, his son started doing very well, even though nobody had any time for him. But Vern Gagne, oddly, is the second person on this WrestleMania who will go on to murder someone. So,
interesting.
He must be about 83, maybe a bit younger than that.
He killed someone in the car?
No, he later goes into a nursing home because he has Alzheimer's.
Oh.
And in 4 years after this, in 2009, so, sorry, 3 years after this, he and another resident of the home basically start having an argument at the dinner table over nothing. They've both got dementia.
Yeah.
And Gagne picked up the bloke and then sort of pulled back on his body, breaking his hip.
Jeez.
And the guy went to the hospital but didn't recover.
Yeah.
And he died as a result, really, of the trauma. At the time, they were all like, oh, he body slammed him to death because, you know, journalists are even worse than wrestlers. but they threw out... Well, they didn't throw out the murder charge, but they didn't prosecute him because of his advanced dementia.
Responsibility, meant
that I don't think either of the men knew what had happened.
Right.
And then he dies 6 years after that.
Right.
So he lived to a ripe old age, but obviously the last part of it was in a total fog. Just an odd thing that in that small business, actually within 5 minutes of this, you are going to see two people who will go on to commit murder. Just a strange little bit. And the other person who comes out is Eddie Guerrero's wife.
Yes.
Who is Vicky Guerrero. She comes out with Chavo, yeah. And what you will not know is at this point, she is a grieving widow. Within, I think, about a year, she is a member of the roster of WWE and she is one of the most hated women in wrestling. Only Vince McMahon could take a widow and make her into a bad guy.
I think this is April. I want to say, you probably got April?
Yeah.
And he died in like sort of October, November.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's not a long time.
No, not at all.
To have this, have
not
so
at all.
Much stuff like this.
The bit that I actually teared up a little bit is she's standing there in front of all of these people in something that she probably had never done before.
Yes.
And she's just standing there and she's taking in that sense of how much he meant to these, to just that crowd of that faceless crowd.
Mm.
I suppose if you're like the wife of a wrestler, you don't go and see them at WrestleManias. You know, if you do, you're backstage half the time. But coming out and just sort of having all those people, the one thing that you know you're going through is just grief and loss.
Yeah.
And there's a load of people saying, you know, just giving that love to you.
Mm.
And then the Blackjacks come over and they start hugging her. And that was the bit that really got me, is that everyone is like, this is a weird display.
Yeah.
Where you've just got a widow standing around and they come out and it's a human move and then everyone starts coming over.
Mm.
And that was the bit where I was like, oh,
no, no.
Humans are wonderful. Apart from Vince McMahon, who set it up that she'd be on her own and made no concession.
And then it goes to it because the crowd with we miss you, Eddie. Hi, Mom. sign. Where I thought, well, we'll only take one sign.
Yeah.
We miss you, Eddie. Hi, Mom.
Mom has made it clear that we can take the Eddie Guerrero on, but she just says how, you know, we've got to say hello. It's, you know, she understands that Vicky Guerrero is very sad, but she's also like, you know, got feelings.
Would it have killed Taz to take off his fucking sunglasses? His stupid glasses.
And had on each eye a little contact in that said, R.I.P. Eddie. That is tasteless, Peter. I think it's disgusting. The other person who is in the Hall of Fame who doesn't come out is Bret Hart.
Yes.
So he's basically accepted that he'll be in the Hall of Fame. He does a speech the night before,
right,
which is one of the best Hall of Fame speeches.
Yeah.
And he then just sort of says, but I'm still not at the point where I'm happy enough with this company,
right,
that I will go out and wave to the crowd.
Because they announced, they sort of say he did not want to come out and do this.
Yeah, yeah. Which is... yeah, and I think that was also part of their attempt to...
Like, mend some bridges.
Well, yeah, to try and be as honest as they could with him after years of of dishonesty.
Mm.
And not just dishonesty, of course. A lot of the rancour came from the fact that his brother, Owen Hart, had died in 1999.
Yes.
There was a long case that went on for a long time regarding who was responsible. I think in the end, they didn't find the WWE responsible. It was down to the harness providers.
Mm.
So you can understand that there is this impossibly big chasm to go over. They do make up eventually. It's wrestling, it happens. And I think that, you know, Bret Hart, he had a nice, respectful way out of the business that didn't leave it on this horrible, jagged end.
Mm.
But this is just part of that process that you can see before it happens.
Interesting.
Mm.
Very interesting. On to match three.
Yes. The United States champion Chris Benoit versus JBL. Weird match. And not because necessarily Benoit.
No, it's more JBL and possibly the big Crystal Palace flag that appears at one point.
Does it?
Yeah, JBL keeps doing Eddie Guerrero dances in the middle of it.
Yeah,
stuff. I don't understand why.
This is just the tasteless side of wrestling. So JBL and Chris Benoit in real life are two of the people closest to Eddie Guerrero.
Mm.
I believe Guerrero is best man at JBL's wedding.
Right.
Chris Benoit and Guerrero, their friendship goes way, way back,
mm.
and there's that odd thing of just, you know, two things in this. One is that JBL does the Three Amigos to get cheap heat.
Mm.
Now, this isn't a thing that you can build to a future match with Eddie Guerrero.
No, because he's dead.
He is dead. That boat has sailed. And so this is just going, he's trying to hurt Chris Benoit by doing that. Who fucking came up with that? Who came up with that thing where they went, and then, you know, your best mate who's dead, start doing his moves, and then Benoit will be like, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And you're like, yeah. But it'll be fine, because we know both of you actually love him and miss him terribly. It's just weird. This kills the crowd when he starts doing
it. Yeah, they're not happy at all.
No.
And the commentary team make it very clear they're not happy either. It's just all
no one boos. Everyone just goes, oh, come on. You know, that is not a reaction that you want.
No.
There are two types of heat that you can get from a crowd.
Mm.
One, you know, obviously, is, you know, hooray. The other one is you get good and bad sort of heat when a crowd is angry.
Yeah.
And the good type of heat is when you do something and people are like, I will pay money to see that guy have his ass kicked.
Mm.
And the other is bad heat. And bad heat is basically when you do something like this that the crowd shit on. And rather than sort of, you know, booing, they're just going, oh, I wish I wasn't here.
Mm.
And this is the epitome of bad heat with this. It's just tasteless and people don't like it.
No.
They know that wrestling isn't real. And so then when you watch it, you go, oh, that's had to be cleared.
Aye.
And they've both been asked to do it, and they've had to sort of like, oh, it's just...
It's probably Vince's idea, to be fair. It's probably not even...
I mean, it probably would be. The other thing about it is Chris Benoit, as the person, if you like, fighting for the honour of Eddie Guerrero, should then at least fucking win. So Bradshaw does his mocking of the dead Eddie Guerrero, the late Eddie Guerrero.
And then,
he wins. And he wins the belt.
Wins the belt for it.
Are you a fan? You fan of wrestling? Fuck you. You're not going to enjoy this at all. I hope you enjoyed paying. Do come back next time. You know, just mental. Just
when
mental.
When you were talking about good heat and bad heat, I was thinking of the film Red Heat. Has Arnold Schwarzenegger ever been involved?
Yes, one of the few people who's actually was given their own WWF title in about 1998,
9. Haven't seen this, have I?
No, he just came to the ring on a sort of Raw, and I think they had that double thing of him, which is, A, he's a huge star.
Yeah, because he's the ultimate kind of wrestle...
Action hero, isn't
he? Yeah, so I'm surprised he's not... I've not seen him.
But the other thing was he was also political, and they love that sort of rub of, look, the politicians like us as well.
Right.
There are some great things, a thing they ran called SmackDown Annual Vote, which are really worth watching, where you see President Obama, before he was president, in fact, so he's just plain old Barack Obama,
right,
when you see him appearing to try and get people to vote on SmackDown. And there are some terrible matches between, you know, people dressed as Obama. I mean, it's awful. But nice. They love that sense of going, you see, the great and the good, even they love wrestling. Well, love or have been, you know, told they have to do it.
Badly advised.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very bad advice. Match four.
Yes.
Edge versus Mick Foley.
This was good.
This was fantastic, wasn't it?
I enjoyed this.
Really, really good. Absolutely classic match. Sometimes hardcore matches don't get that classic because they get silly and they aren't particularly well worked out. They're just a kind of bunch of high spots. And this is just phenomenal. Mm. Edge needed a match basically to get him into the A-list. He's seen as still being, if you like, a sports entertainer rather than a wrestler.
Right.
He hasn't had a long career of really bloody, gruesome matches, so he doesn't seem like a tough guy.
Yeah.
He seems a bit like a sort of 80s Christian rocker who happens to hang around with Lita.
Yeah, he looks like he's in POD, which he'll appear later on.
Yes, and I also Wikipedia'd POD. A lot to say about that. But Mick Foley also, he is coming to the end of his career, and he had never had a really good WrestleMania match. Mm. It just never clicked for him on the big stage.
Right.
And I think they both went out with something to prove. Edge wanted to prove that he deserved to be in the main mix, and if he wasn't in the main event of this WrestleMania, he would try and steal the show.
Yeah.
You get Foley going out. He's had a long-term friendship with Edge. He wants to go out and have a great WrestleMania match because he's never had one. It is a really, really good match. This is Foley's last good match. It's right. His last WrestleMania. Mm. He basically sort of falls between the cracks after this. He ends up going to TNA for a run. He comes back a few times. He has short runs with people. And I don't think he properly retires until 2012, when he can't get medically cleared for a SummerSlam match against Dean Ambrose,
right,
currently known as John Moxley. So he does have another 6 years where he's around. But this is his last great moment. And he comes down to the ring at the start, and he looks absolutely massive. He looks like, you know those like women you see if you go to sort of like quite a out of the way place, and it's got like a bit of a 1970s shopping centre. He just looks like all of those big old women that you see waddling about.
And we're looking at Lizzie Duke. Looking at a bit of Lizzie Duke in Argos, in the Argos window.
They also bring out Joey Styles for this, which is an attempt to slightly sort of go, this is like an old-fashioned ECW match. And Joey Styles, he also had a bad run in WWE.
Right.
Vince McMahon, for some reason, hated him, didn't like his commentary at all. And people loved his commentary. He was a good commentator. Mm. But they have JR brings him out with Joe, and he just sort of says, here he is, Joey Styles. He deserves to be here.
And it's so weird, isn't it?
That is, again, you're about to start and you're like, fucking hell, Jim. why are you saying that? So who doesn't think I deserve to? Oh, okay, got ya. Edge is as good as he ever was at this moment. He's coming off the back of the Matt Hardy debacle. Mm. And he wants really, I think, to keep that upward trajectory going. And this match is phenomenal. When they bring out the thumbtacks, in Foley matches, it was quite often that you'd sort of go, oh, well, Mick Foley's going to take a bump on the thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And so when they do it with the other person who you weren't expecting,
no,
that was a proper thrill.
It was really shocking and people went crazy for it because he's, you know, he's obviously very clean cut and stuff, but seeing him bleeding, landing in attacks.
There's also that thing quite early on where he is wearing like a T-shirt sort of thing that he's wrestling in and he takes it off. And there's a slight sort of thing where the women in the crowd go, woo, like that, you know. But I thought to myself, God, when he took that off, he must have been thinking, this is to throw everyone off the scent, but I'm going to have those pins in my back and they're going to be there for probably 15 minutes. And I'm going to have to do things like go on my back when they're still there.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare.
Because I can't be seen to brush them off.
No. He gets cut on the arm really quickly as well. And that's a sort of, it's one of those, it's like flips my stomach.
Yeah, because it's not deliberate. It's not by design, is it?
No, and you're a bit like, did that happen?
He throws Foley against it. He gets sort of flipped against the point of the step. I was like, that looked horrible. I think he just misses the point, but
They do the bit, in fact, where he cuts his arm, is he does a spear on Mick Foley.
Right.
And he rolls off in agony. And Foley gets up and he's wrapped his body in barbed wire.
Yes.
But The problem with it is Foley's got a gut on him at this point, and you cannot see the barbed wire, so no one knows what's happened.
It just looks like he's wearing like a metal belt, a really thin metal belt.
And then Foley's trying to like cut it off, and it's not coming off. And it just, if you were standing behind, you'd just think he'd stop the match to have a wank. Just absolutely terrible. He wraps it around his hand, and you know, it ends up Lita gets the mandible claw because he's got, you know, the barbed wire bleeds, and she jumps on his back, and he still does the clothesline over the top on Edge. And everything in this match is just perfect. There's nothing.
It's fantastic.
There's nothing you could have done better.
I thought the fighter was going to be really shit, but it was good in the end.
Thrilling.
And they were clearly and the way that the fire goes out as soon as they land on it as well. They were clearly told to flip, like to roll away from it. They roll away, and it's already gone out.
Yeah, it has. Amazing. Oddly, I was reading a thing where they said they didn't use any flame retardant material.
Yeah.
So I think there is a way of I don't even quite know what it is, but you'd put it on the table beforehand, you'd light it, but then pretty much, and it would go out.
Right.
But they decided not to do that. Edge was very keen that it had to look great.
Yeah.
And it was his idea, the flaming table, and he knew that Foley would go along with it. But he said, I just wanted something that people just would not forget.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's great. As they go through that thing, it's just thrilling. If you're going to do a match, like a hardcore match, then, yeah, go for it. Bells and whistles. There's no point holding back. And he really doesn't hold back. He also does a couple of bits in the match which is just great. There's one where he's just on top of the ring post and Foley's on the table, which they'll later go through. Mm. And Foley just rolls off it. And Edge just sort of, instead of having jumped and missed him, he just gets down. And I was thinking, it's so rare that you see people go, I've got up for my big move, and they move, and you go, oh, I'll do something else. And I was like, yeah, that made it look real. Well done. And I don't think he ever then goes back up to go through the table. So it's just, it was a little bit of a sort of wrong set. And the other thing he does really well is at the end, he is in shock. And he's just shaking his hands. Just
I like
going,
that.
Like he can't believe what's happened. He did actually, I think he and Foley both got second degree burns from the table. Yeah. So it was pretty legitimate. But yeah, I mean, just how nice that, you know, Mick Foley does get his final great WrestleMania moment that he's been, has eluded him for all these years.
The truth hurts, baby! That's at the start. But he just, he's so iconic with his big beard of blood and rah. Yeah.
He is great. I mean, the hard thing about Mick Foley is the more you love him, the more you wanted to see him do the stuff he used to do where he'd look like he'd gone through a mincer. But, you know,
you
I mean...
You can't do that to your body.
You cannot. You cannot stick to going through a flaming table at a WrestleMania. Just great stuff. If you've not seen this WrestleMania, then I think you can just pretty much watch that match.
Yeah.
And you will go, that is as good as it gets. It's really good.
Yeah. And we've reached the end of another show.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more at WrestleMania 22.
Yes.
If you'd like to get into the show.
I was going to say, you can follow us on Twitter if you like. It's at WrestleMePod. Hello, everybody.
Our DMs are open. Are they open?
Are they open? I don't know.
Probably.
I'm 43. I have no idea if things are open or not.
And that's why you're getting a run against Irishmen.
I really hope I'm going to go back tonight and I'm going to click on DMs. It's just going to be full of loads of birds.
Boobies.
Like, chirping
loads
me
of
up.
Boobies.
I love the way you cough in the middle of the shows.
You talk constantly about Pete's back knee.
I wish you'd put me through a flaming table.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me,
I'm
Peter.
I'm putting a stop to that.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have. How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.